welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Welcome to another edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And today it is, again, just me, and I'm recording this on Labor Day morning, and I'm hoping that you're not working. Now, you may be listening to this after Monday, and I still hope that you have taken some time this week to rest. I hope that you've taken some time to chill out and unplug for a little bit. Some people are wondering, why is that so important? Or, Tom, I just don't have time to do that because I've got so much on my plate right now with fall kickoff and maybe relaunching kids ministry, reopening kids ministry, or just trying to figure out how we're going to do kids ministry for the fall. Let me tell you, my friends, thank you for listening to this podcast. And thank you for just taking some time to learn and grow. And I hope that you'll share these thoughts with other people. But I have one of the most important messages that I want to share with you. This is something that if you watched on the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group page the other day, there was a live video that I shared some of this information. But God's given me some things that I really have to share today in this podcast. So I hope you'll just take a few minutes, pause for a few minutes, turn off the phone or flip it over. And just listen and hear from my heart, because I really do think these are words from God's heart. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, Solomon writes these words: "What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless." I want to know, if you're like me, there were many nights that I would lay in bed anxious. My brain would not shut off. My mind was thinking of people that were hurting or in need. My mind was working on, how do I fill the last few volunteer slots, or how do I recruit a bunch more? What am I going to have to do to get everything done for the next event? What do I have to do to make sure that my senior leadership is happy? My mind would be just overwhelmed at times with those kind of things. And instead of taking that time to unplug and rest, my mind was working all night long. You get that feeling? You ever identify with that? I'm sure a lot of you out there have. And I want you to know that that's not the way God designed us to live. I also think there's a lot of wisdom in what Psalm 46:10 tells us. 8 simple words, 24 letters, but it stands as an indictment to me. And maybe to you too, I don't know. But those simple words are, "Be still and know that I am God." You see, to look at most of us in ministry, you would really think that that verse says, "Be busy and know that you're productive," or "Work hard and know that your ministry is successful." But this verse is all about our connection to God, not my work for God. I've been super good over the years of ministry, 33 years, to be great at being busy. And there have been many times I was lousy at being still. And I feel like in this season of COVID, the pandemic, and all of the pivoting and the unprecedented that we've had to do in ministry, that we are at a point where we need to put out a call to all of you and me that are in ministry to say it's time to be still. Now, some of you are thinking already, that's great, Tom. Sure, that's easy for you to say. You're not in a full-time position. You're doing this KMC coaching, restoring leaders thing, and that's all wonderful and good for you. But listen, you can't afford not to be still. And I wonder how well I know for me, my spiritual disciplines have struggled at seasons like this when I was running so hard and having to change so many things. And maybe that's the case for you too. Maybe your spiritual disciplines have been hit and miss at best. You know, Andy Stanley said, direction, not intention, determines our destination. We can have the best of intentions to make time to rest and make time to be still before the Lord. But if we don't make a direction for it, our destination of really, truly winding up at the feet of Jesus isn't going to happen. And I really think it's imperative for leaders to start taking time away for thinking, for reflection, for laughter, for connection, for rest. But again, I know the knee-jerk reaction for most of us is, hey, that sounds great, but I can't afford to take time away. I can't get time away. But you know what? In order to maintain our sanity, to keep any kind of semblance of spiritual health, we need to make time for personal retreats and rest. And what I want to share with you today is the vision that God has been giving me and the launch of a brand new ministry to specifically help leaders find restoration. I've started and launched a brand new ministry called Restoring Leaders. It's all about helping ministry leaders that are wounded and hurting, burned out and tired, get back in and stay in the ministry game. And what I mean by that is to get back to that day one calling attitude and that refreshment and that joy and that passion and that drive. For many of us, we've lost it. Or for some of you that are new, you're starting to run so hard that you're already burning yourself up and burning yourself out. And so I want to share with you just briefly what Restoring Leaders is all about. It started during COVID-19, where the KMC coaching had slowed down because a lot of ministry leaders that desired to do one-on-one coaching or the small groups just couldn't afford to do it. And I understood that. Plus, many of them didn't have time because of all the new videos they had to create and the take-home boxes and all the different things. And just to manage your own homes and your kids and your school at home, being homeschoolers and all the things. It became just wave after wave. But I started to spend time alone with God. I would come down into my basement office where I'm sitting recording today, and I would do these days that I called Shut Up and Listen, where I would just sit quietly before the Lord, play some instrumental music, sometimes just sit in silence, would open up the scriptures, read some of David's writings and Solomon's writings and Peter and Paul, and just have my journal open and sit quietly and say, okay, God, here I am. Just speak to my heart. Let me hear your voice. Push out the noise of this world, all my fears and doubts and struggles. Just let me hear you speak to me. And it was during these times that I felt God whispering to my heart when I would ask him the question, God, what am I supposed to do? What can I do to serve those that are on the front lines right now, running so hard, being so amazing and so flexible? And I felt God telling me to be the pastor to the pastors, to just come alongside you, to encourage you, to pray for you, to lift you up. And that's what you've hopefully been seeing me do in the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group, is to let you know I'm here. And I'm so thankful for the many of you that will text me or email me and say, hey, can you pray specifically for this or that? You've Facebook messaged me, and I love hearing from you. And it's been great to run alongside some of you. I count it an honor and a privilege to do that. But I kept thinking about what does this look like and how can I do it and how can I do it better? Because so many of you need someone just to walk beside you because you felt so alone and so discouraged that you were the only one. And your volunteers were so overwhelmed, you hated to ask them for help. And so instead of asking for help, you would struggle alone. And now you're feeling it physically, emotionally, spiritually. I understand. I've been there. I get it. And so I kept asking God, what do I do to help my brothers and sisters? And that's when God started to give me this vision for creating something that would help ministry leaders step aside, to pause, to have a pit stop and break, but also to restore themselves. And so I began to seek God for a name of this ministry, because I would just refer to it as a hurting leaders thing. And that's what was in the notebooks all the time, was hurting leaders. And I started sketching out what I thought some things could look like, both online and in person. And I was frustrated with myself, to be honest, because I couldn't come up with the name. But I just kept asking God about it. I kept praying. I kept seeking him and saying, God, show me what you want me to do. Give me that purpose and that name and that mission so clear that I'll know it's totally you and not me. Well, there just happened to come a day where I was sitting in my living room and I was messaging back and forth with a good friend of mine who needed some encouragement, and I needed some encouragement myself. And so we decided to meet up at a coffee shop, but we were going to have to just sit in our trucks and talk through the windows, but we figured that was all right. And so we set up an appointment to go down and meet up. And then I got a message from the owner of that coffee shop that we'd actually planned on. He Instagram messaged me and said, hey, I've got something to send you. What's your address? And I thought, cool, I'm going to get some coffee house swag and this is going to be great. Well, I sent him my address, but then I also said, hey, by the way, I'll be down there tomorrow morning at 8:30. And he's like, well, cool, then I'm just going to hang on to what I have and I'll see you tomorrow. Well, again, I thought I was getting some free coffee or a t-shirt or something. And when I got down there, the owner greeted me and handed me an envelope. And in that envelope was a check. It blew me away. I didn't know what to say. And I'm like, what? I can't take this from you. You're a small businessman struggling, probably worse than I'm struggling right now. And he's like, no, I'm giving you this because I was told to do it. And I want you to use this as seed money for that dream that God has on your heart. Now go get it. Thank you just seemed so weak at that moment. Tears, I would tell you, I had tears running down my cheeks. I just was stunned and blown away. But I knew in my heart, God was telling me and confirming that this, he wanted me to move forward and take some next steps. So I began to dig in deeper and trying to come up with a name. I started creating some different names and created a list of about 35 or 40 different names that I could call this Hurting Leaders Ministry. Sent it out to a group of friends of mine that are close, kind of a mentorship group and a accountability group. They've been a great group of men in my life that have held me accountable and encouraged me and pushed me and challenged my thinking. And I'm so grateful for them being in my life, especially during these days. We've lifted each other up and through these times. So I sent them this list and said, okay, fellas, here's what I'm thinking of doing with this Hurting Leaders Ministry. And here's what I want to do. And here's a list of names that I think would be great. Tell me which one you think would fit the best. And I waited, and all of them came back with, no, Tom, these all stink. They're terrible. That's not what, there's no power here. There's nothing there, you know, and they said it in nice ways, but yeah, they stunk. So I went back to the drawing board and created another list and decided, well, I wasn't going to share it with them this time. Instead, I was sitting out at my camper with my wife in a nice quiet evening, and I handed her a list and said, hey, can you look through this list and see if there's a name that you think we should call this ministry? Because I need to get going. I know that in my spirit, I've got to get this launched. And I'm stuck. And I can't move ahead until I have that name. There's just something about it. She started looking through the list and Then she got quiet. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And she looked at me and said, no, don't get angry. I said, I won't. She said, I don't like any of these. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Not one on that list. Nope. But she said, I do have a word. I'm like, hey, I don't care if it's chocolate ice cream right now. I am so desperate for this name. Tell me, what is it? Now, I will tell you, a few weeks earlier, I woke up in the middle of the night, just wide awake. And all of a sudden, there was this word in my head. It was actually more of a name. But I, for some reason, just felt very compelled to grab my phone and type it into the notes app. And then I went back to sleep. And honestly, I'd never thought about it until that day, sitting in the camper, when my wife said, I have a word, and it's the word restoration. She said, I feel like what God has put on your heart is all about helping restore leaders and their hearts and their minds and their souls. I just feel like that's what you're all about, is restoration. That's what he's all about. That's the process I watched you walk through years ago when you were hurting. You walked through a process that dealt with your heart and your soul and your mind, and I watched you restore. I watched God restore you. I watched your counselor restore your heart and soul and mind, and I just think that's it. Again, my soul was just moved. My emotions became overwhelmed. I knew that was the right word. And I said, are you sure it's not on that list? And she said, no, it's not on that list. And I could have sworn I wrote it down somewhere, but I couldn't think of it. And I carry a lot of books and journals with me because I write down all sorts of crazy ideas. So I have several different idea books. And I was tearing those apart trying to find that word because I knew I had written it down. Well, my wife came out ready for bed and she's like, wow, you destroyed the camper. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've got books everywhere right now because I swear I've written that name down. And then it hit me. Check your phone. So I went and I looked at my phone, and sure enough, on my phone, I had typed restoration project. And I thought, wow, there it is, restoration. And you know, what amazes me about our God is that when he speaks so clearly. And it amazed me that he gave both my wife and I the same word, weeks apart. And so I knew that we had to be about the business of helping leaders restore. Well, at first we were going to go with Restoration Project, but because of that being all used on social media for other things like Billy Bob's chair restoration or auto restoration, I didn't want to go with Restoration Project. But we did decide to choose restoration and restoring leaders. Restoring leaders was born on that day because God gave us a vision for helping people like you that are listening, people like me who've been in ministry for a long time, who've been running hard, and who need someone to come alongside of them and walk with them and journey with them and help them process all the things that go on in ministry, the challenges, the directions. Because again, like Andy said, direction, not intention, determines our destination. So what direction are you heading in right now? Are you in a direction that you can sustain for a long period of time at this pace without any breaks? Can you afford to do that? Can you give God 100% of your best if you're running at less than 50% because you're physically and emotionally tired? Maybe you're the leader that's out there that you know your senior leader's not happy with you right now. You know you're not happy with your senior leader. You're feeling that friction, that rub. You're wondering whether you should stay there or not. Or maybe you're the person that just got let go. Maybe it was a blindside. Maybe you knew it was coming. But irregardless, it hurts. It wounds you to the core. I know, I've been there too. I've been blindsided. And I've also known when it's coming. And either way, it hurts. It hurts to think that you're going to have to leave. It hurts to think you're going to have to stop. You feel responsible. Maybe you feel like you have unfulfilled dreams. Yeah, all of us feel like these at times. And if we don't take time to process, if we don't take time to recognize where we are, it can be dangerous. If we don't take time to recognize and be honest with our soul issues, it can be a threat to our soul. And we have to figure out what is that process. Well, I believe I have a process that will help you to recognize and identify and to name things that are starting to put holes in your soul and in your spirit and in your dreams. And so restoring leaders, that's what it's all about. It's all about helping leaders that are hurting and wounded to get back in and stay in the ministry battle. Now, in order to do this, we're going to need financial help and prayer warriors. If you might be interested in supporting this ministry, I'm going to ask even right now, would you consider going over to restoringleaders.org and scroll down, and there's a big blue box, and on the right side of that blue box, it says donate. Would you consider giving a one-time gift or becoming even a small monthly supporter? Even if I have a bunch of people supporting at $5 or $10 a month, it will make a huge difference in the lives of ministry leaders like yourself. You may not need this ministry just right now, but at some point you probably will. There were months and years I didn't need that. I just needed a little vacation and I would be restored. But there's other times where I needed deeper heart work and soul work and mind work. And we need people to stand in the gaps. Or maybe you know somebody that God has blessed financially, but they have a heart for ministry leaders. Would you share this with them and have encouraged them to give and support a ministry like this? Or maybe you know a foundation that would help us get this launched. We're going to need some good investments so that we can launch and offer what we want to offer. And I'll tell you a bit more about that in just a moment. I don't want this podcast to be too long, but I wanted to give you the idea of how Restoring Leaders started and what it's all about. What we plan to do is offer retreats, both in person and online care groups, where we can gather leaders together to help them rest, restore. We want them to recognize where they are. We want to help them do some repair work in their life and to figure out how they can seal up some of those holes, shore up the pace of life, set up some boundaries and priorities, help with forgiveness and reconciliation. So there'll be some repair work done, but then there's also going to be some time to refill that spirit, to refill that energy level, to rest, to renew, and ultimately to have a heart that's restored back to day one calling, to have a mind that is creative and dreaming and passionate about what they do, and a heart that just overflows, and out of that overflow, you minister and serve instead of going on reserves. That's what Restoring Leaders retreats and online care groups are going to do. And I'm excited, and I know some of you need to plug into some of these. And so you can go to restoringleaders.org and fill out an application. We're looking for some to come in October, the last week of September, first week of October, for 3 days to have some fun, to connect, and to walk through some of the new material that we've created in this Restoring Leaders program. If you're interested, we've got a few spaces left. All you have to do is, the only expenses you have is to get to Ohio and a few incidentals. The rest, your housing and your food, majority of your food will be taken care of for you, because we believe it's time to help Restoring Leaders. It's time to be about the Father's business. So, as I get ready to wrap up, let me ask you a question. What goes through your mind when you get that thought? When I say, here comes Sunday, are you ready? Here comes the relaunch, the reopening, are you ready? Or what feelings come to mind when you get a text message from your pastor saying, hey, we need to talk, can you come see me? What happens on Saturday night when you get that text or that email that says, I'm sorry, but, and you know the rest? See, when you answered the call to come into ministry, no one told you that behind the curtain would be one of the most highest anxiety, most stressful jobs on the planet. Research shows that's exactly what being a pastor, what being in ministry is all about. I began to understand this for myself not long after I took my first position. I was in a small country church and I was asked to do children's and student ministry, all for a whopping $6,000 a year. Oh, and I was going to school full time. I was a newlywed. My wife was pregnant with our first son. And not long after I had been in the position, I had to fill in for the senior pastor for a while who had a heart attack. So now I was supposed to be adding two more preaching services. So I preached two weekends, two services a weekend, and did student ministry, children's ministry, and went to school full time and prepared for a new baby. No one prepared for me for what was going to come next. A senior pastor who got upset and really honestly grew jealous and irritated because changes had been made while he was gone. And when he came back, there were changes and growth that he wasn't anticipating would happen. And he didn't like the new young leader that was seeing all the accolades come his way. You know, I never thought that anybody, a senior leader, could be jealous or uncomfortable with another leader underneath him having success, but it happened. And then there was a crushing blow because all of a sudden he didn't want me around anymore. Have you heard that most leaders starting in ministry don't make it past year five, or that less than 10% of those who enter ministry will retire in ministry? You ever wonder why that is? Well, it's not because Sundays keep coming, and it's not because volunteers call off on a Saturday night, or that a senior leader becomes disgruntled or toxic, but it is because of the accumulation of schedules and expectations and lack of support that becomes overwhelming and very painful. Leaders are broken and wounded, and as I learned, unless you ask for someone to walk alongside you and help you process the pain and the angers and the hurts and to help you rest, you'll just limp on to a new ministry or limp on in your own ministry, and you'll probably still be bleeding from the internal wounds or the exterior wounds from the previous ministry. And I get it. I've been there. I've been wounded and bleeding too. I even told God one time, put me on the bench. I need to sit out for a while. I need to decide if I even want to stay in, because I'm not sure I want to. Well, I've been in ministry now for 33 years, and I've had other wounds and hurts than just when I started. But I've also learned how to process. I've learned how to pace. I've learned how to recognize and repair and restore so that my passion stays where it was when I first entered ministry. I love helping other leaders. And my life's mission now is not to build this massive business. It's about helping hurting and wounded leaders get back in and stay in the ministry battle. That's why Restoring Leaders was started. We want to show leaders how to restore their wounded hearts and help them return to ministry. We want wounded souls so you can live whole and complete and embracing that temperament and that calling in your gifting to lead. We want to help restore leaders and their wounded minds so that they can lead at full capacity and then they can lead more and reach more for the gospel. We can show you how to do this. We can show you how to beat that 10% statistic and stay in. It's time for you to restore you. It's time for you to change your destination and to be intentional about taking care of yourself. What I would love to invite you to do right now is go over to restoringleaders.org and set up a free 30-minute call and let's talk. Let's figure out where and when you could attend an online care group or an in-person retreat. And when we're done talking, I believe you're going to have some action steps of how you can begin to start that restoring process. And you can start to find some joy in healing again. And so that when you labor, your labor is not done out of this grind, but out of this overflow of joy and passion again. My prayer is that together we will see the ministry leaders community come together and no longer accept being broken and burned out and tired as badges of honor. But instead, we'll look forward to serving and reaching more out of the overflow and the abundance of the joy and passion that God gives. So God bless you, my friends. I pray that you will partner with us, you'll pray for us, and get involved with us. I hope that restoring leaders can make a difference in your life and the lives of other ministry leaders you know. So I'm here to serve you. I'm here for you. Let's talk. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. And thanks for your support and encouragement. I hope that you'll share this and join us again for another edition real soon.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.